All right, we're not Simon or Peasy. We're better looking than them. And we've come all the way from the other side of the city for this armpit of a show called Calling the Audible.
Wow, shots fired.
Already, yes. Welcome into Calling the Audible. Is this Calling the Audible, the fall edition? What's the call?
Yes, it's exactly that. It's Calling the Audible fall edition.
Fall edition.
Why not Falling the Audible?
Falling the Audible, yes. Fall Cup edition. He's so irritated, Eagle. GM and Mo Khan here. As we will jargon our way through this episode of FPF Talk. I know some people will talk about the games that was, but some people have asked us, again, the playoff format and how it works, which we'll talk about on this podcast, I would assume.
Until we didn't beforehand, I guess we were going to look at games that we were present at or score kept, in your cases that may be.
Suppose we were there, physically maybe.
Mentally, physically maybe. 2HD 24, they lose out to Leban Liazard, who won 32-24. Danny DeMoor filling in a QB. Minimal drop-off in Joey Taylor's absence. Mo, what can you tell me about this game?
Well, I think first and foremost, 2HD was 5 for the game. No Joey Taylor, so they were 5 for the game. And somehow, Nick Shintomo and his boys couldn't really run up the score. I think they may have taken this game a little bit more lax, even with Simon Charbonneau-Campo, famously known as SCC. And it got a bit chippy, though, in the second half. And you know who the culprits are, the Shintomo brothers, who are very physical and very verbally aggressive towards opponents. And we talk about what they did. And, look, David Shintomo had three touchdowns, a bigger part, on four catches. But I think if you were to take away this game, I think 2HD can be very happy about how they played until the last minute and a half when they pulled away finally.
Absolutely, especially as 5. I mean, the deck is stacked against you to begin with. And you're left just trying to make it work. And in this game, they almost came close. Balniasart have a strong offense. You mentioned the Shintomo brothers, SEC, Pat Chenard, Matt Surratt, and Corey Greenaway all on this team. I think the problem with this, and even when they're playing a team of 5, is that they have a lot of points against. So they're averaging 30 points against. Most teams score 4 to 5 touchdowns on them in a game. And it's only recently that we've seen these last two wins from them, but they've struggled against teams that can stop their strong offense.
Yeah, and I think, and that's going to be the calling card for these guys, that look, they're going to drop 40 on you, but they'll give up 41, right? And at this point of the season of the FPF Cup, you're going to go up against better and better competitions. Of course, now we're seeing the group stage really phase out and funnel out the weaker teams and bring up the stronger teams, GM. But if I'm 2HD, I wonder if Joey Taylor plays in this football game. Maybe it's a W for them, and we're talking about them being victorious.
I think it's absolutely a W for them, because then again,
why do you say that?
Danny DeMoor is a receiver on that team, and Joey Taylor is a quarterback on that team. They put up 40-50 easy.
But that's not a hypothetical, right? But
yeah, it's a hypothetical, but I mean, it's more guaranteed than not. I mean, you're playing the 5 players for how long?
Entire game. And there were 4 players at one point because what's-his-face-ter took 5 plays OC. Oh, my God, I'm blanking out.
John
right
Curtis?
Now. John Kutris took OC. Yeah, he took one. As did Sivak Lucian as well.
So
separate plays.
There's an 8-point difference in a 6-on-5 all game, missing your QB, and your one of your best receivers, arguably one of the best receivers, is the one who's filling in for QB. It's a different game if it's 6-on-6, actual QB, actual receiver.
Wait, see, would they win if there were 5 guys with Joey Taylor as quarterback? Say Joey Taylor plus 4.
As I mentioned, I don't think it's that much of a drop-off between Joey and Danny. Joey is the more seasoned of the two quarterbacks and has the higher division experience, but it's a similar sort of offense. And I think that having that 6 would be important, even if it was still Danny at quarterback and Joey at receiver. I think that they're more likely to win it like that than 5. With Joey at quarterback.
And keep in mind, if you are playing with 5 guys, the 2HD system can kind of be worked with, because you can basically double team or basically have a guy sit in a zone that they're going to be running into. So defensively, it makes it a lot easier to play call against them. I mean, you can run man and a safety underneath everyone just to be sure. You can double rush every play if you're worried about that. You can send there's a whole bunch of things you can do with 5. So that extra 6 guy really makes the offense click.
I think they would have been annoyed. GF Marquis and SEC and Shintomo. I think they would have gotten irritated by these guys.
even more so playing against Joey. I know that it's a different defense to scheme against, and Pat Chouinard, especially having been a former teammate of mine.
Pat wasn't even there.
Okay, so he can, like, this team, this core gets frustrated under the Joey playbook, and just Joey being able to distribute the ball as well. You mentioned Sevek Hulusyan, who's having a savage comeback. He's really making it work in Joey's offense.
He was not too happy.
Well, when you're playing as five.
No, he wasn't happy. This wasn't happy.
Okay.
Leave it at that. Next game.
Next game, SWAT beat out Pigeon Squad, 31-18.
Oh, boy. Really good time with SWAT.
Yeah, well, do you have better options right now? No, it was a forgettable game for Jared Buck. He threw four interceptions, which is half of what he's thrown so far in the entire FPF Cup. And SWAT at this point look like they're going to be moving up, leaning on Sean Haney and Isaiah Lard, who were staples of this game and have been staples for them all throughout the tournament so far.
You know who the anchor is of this whole SWAT team? That will always be a degenerate parasite in Gino DeFazio, and he'll never win with, like, they have talent. Okay, Isaiah Lard had a pick six off a rush.
Yep, he's again. I think, again. Yeah, again.
Oh, god damn it!
Yeah, it's think like four that this year. He's like defensive player of the tournament.
100%. 100%.
Six picks, eight sacks, six passes defended, and is those two pick sixes.
Is that the greatest defensive performance to do what he's done from his position? I think so.
And this is all strictly from the rush? Absolutely.
Because we always talk about how, you know, the rusher forces interceptions downfield because of the pressure. He's getting the interceptions scoring himself. Like, you can't do better than that as a rusher. You are literally carrying the team on your back, though.
I've watched SWAT play. They've had some very chippy games. Are they good? I think their record is what they are. They are pretty solid.
Put it this way.
They're going to move up to where they fit better.
This team without Isaiah Lard is not the same.
They're a tier 5 team at this point.
If that. Because who carries the team at that point? It's Sean Haney. Yep. It's David DeAndrea and Alex Blais as secondaries.
But they don't have that same pressure on the quarterback.
Exactly. And the defense falls apart then. The defense works because the middle of the field is gone. The outside, you shoot anything short and anything deep. You have, I think it's Haney, and who's on the other side of the field?
David DeAndrea, probably?
Maybe, yeah, basically.
There's like a cast of 85 guys that come off like a boat, and you play.
But,
and he pays.
But that's it, though.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Alard doesn't show up to a game, I don't think SWAT has a chance.
No, they don't.
Alard's there, it's all him.
You know what it is? It's the, I hate to use this example because it's the one I can think of because it's fresh for us as NFL fans. It's like Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. Gino DeFazio is Mike McCarthy, albeit with less coaching skills. And Isaiah Lard is his Aaron Rodgers. You take away that figure from that defense, they become minimal at that point. Nothing intimidating from that point onwards.
Yeah. And I can see why Jared Buck throws four INTs in this game. I mean, the system is a lot of check down and deep, and exactly that. You cannot do that against SWAT with the rush.
No, and Isaiah Lard was like a shark. He just gobbled up whatever was in the sea, and he went to the distance. So,
where do you see these two teams ending up after the qualifying round?
A good question. Look, I think, look, there's no doubt that SWAT does move up. Are they a team that can make some noise in the next round? Maybe for a half. That's it.
So we actually have a Facebook comment directed to you guys.
Oh, boy. Who's it from?
Alexis Dubois. Hey.
Oh, great.
Our depth getting disrespected again.
Oh, yes. Real depth. Quality depth to work with.
But it's not really depth when Haney and Isaiah are 17 touchdowns of what? What's the total that SWAT have scored?
So far this year, I believe there's...
Come on it.
You counting defensive ones too, or offensive only?
Yeah, no, just offensive only. Well, so they combine for 17 offensive touchdowns, and the rest of the team combines for 6.
Yeah, when Sean Haney's bicep is like the size of Alex Dubois and like 3 other players in that roster, yeah, we got some problems. Definitely has some problems. Next game on the talk here, Mr. GM.
X-Men. X-Men beat out a close one against Los Avocados, 40-33, high scoring affair.
Now I have a question for you.
I have an answer for you.
Who's a more of a whining team, X-Men or Los Avocados? Think about that. I'll ask your same question to you, Eagle. Who's more of a
Mo's in a mood.
More whiny. I'm tired, but that's it.
Yeah, I can imagine. There's a lot of sports going on at the same time right now. So
LeBron's playing in 2 hours.
Yeah.
But 40, who's a more whining team? Because I score kept both teams. So I'd like to get your perspective.
Did you say you would come back to me on this later? Well, so I guess just Eagle? In the meantime, I was going to say the difference here, Sal Brohi with an INT and Gaudemo with a rushing touchdown.
That's rare.
Yeah, Josh Vasquez throwing that one untimely interception there in this high-scoring game. Is the Vasquez-Zorko dynamic starting to hurt the team as they develop and move up?
I think they become... It's sort of that...
On a subject of depth or lack of it.
You know what it is? It's when you wake up in the morning and you have the same routine for breakfast, right? What do you have, Jim, in the morning? What's your go-to meal?
Mini wheats, PB&J.
Right, okay, so...
I like mini wheats, too.
Yeah.
There you go. So you guys have mini wheats. Wait,
brown sugar or regular?
Yes.
Oh, what's wrong with you? I know this guy takes sugar. Like, you put sugar on top of sugar if you had a chance.
What's wrong with that?
Hello, diabetes. no, it's like that routine you have, and then you cannot deviate from it, and when you do, you don't feel comfortable eating something else.
It upsets your day.
Upset your day. You're off course, right? This is what happens with Los Avocados, right? Tom Zorko is the franchise.
Yeah. So...
He's the membrane of the whole process.
Yeah, so similar to the numbers I quoted earlier, like Tom is 33 receptions and 8 touchdowns, which is 57% of all the receptions on the team and 50% of the touchdowns. So at a certain point, as you move up, teams will start to key in on and double cover or even sometimes bracket and triple cover the go-to player on your offense.
But I think that's kind of the problem with the Avocados offense is that, yes, they are kind of one-dimensional, but you can use that to your advantage because you know they're going to key in on him. So you send the guy behind him, you send the guy where he was, and everyone who's cheating on him is going to have an open guy standing literally next door. Just give him the ball.
But honestly, who poses it? Excuse me, who poses the threat from Los Avocados beyond Tom Zorko?
Louis-Philippe Caron, probably.
Ilya Kratsov.
But do they really? Like, are you going to go on the field, Jim, and you play defense, as do you, Eagle? Are you going to say, my God, I'm worried about these two guys right now? No.
No, it's Zorko or nothing.
Exactly. So you know what the deal is, right? You bracket coverage Zorko, and that's it. Josh Vasquez, there's days where I'm like, wow, you know, he's put up some good numbers. He's won some tough games in years past. But then when you see him in this situation against X-Men, and in weeks past, you're like, man, he looks like a remedial quarterback.
But do you think it's really a roster problem? Like, if you think if they bring in a number one receiver to kind of play the opposite side of Zorko, that it's going to change the way they play the game? Or is Zorko still going to get the majority of the balls?
He'll still get the majority of balls because that's the only thing he knows, the routine of eating shredded wheat.
So then it's not the personnel. It's Vasquez.
It could be. It could be. But, again, they don't have anything beyond Tom Zorko. If you take out Tom Zorko, the entire gridlock is happening for power outages.
On the other side of the ball, for X-Men, I know that there's debates against like lower division players being inducted into the Hall of Fame, but if we had a Hall of Very Good, is Gaudemo a first ballot quarterback? I think like most seasons QBR above 100, like great completion percentage, spreads the ball around effectively.
Is he not a Pittsburgh Steelers fan?
Probably.
Yeah, so he's like the Andy Dalton of quarterbacks.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, that's a really good way to describe it. Yeah. It's a very good way to describe it.
Except that Andy Dalton wasn't brought in to win a championship for a team.
Yeah, but I'm saying that for the X-Men. Like,
yeah,
role with the X-Men. Yeah, you're right.
And on the Heismans, was Andy Dalton in college, I guess?
Yeah, with TCU. Sure, why not? We could do that.
But yes, I mean... Hall of Fame. I mean,
Hall of Very Good. Yeah, yeah.
Hall of Very. Yeah, but there's a lot of Hall of Very Good, right? Like, I would say, what makes Gaudemo special as compared to other quarterbacks of his caliber? Nothing.
Hey, let me whip up the stats for you guys, and we can debate.
He has a good career. Don't get me wrong, and everything, but in the games that kind of really matter, I'm gonna say the Heisman is being the exception. But anyway, that's okay, neither here nor there. Here that was before the cap rules, I should say. But since then.
Here we go. So 129 games played. He is 24 yards away from 17,000 yards passing in his career. So we should do like a celebration Hallmark moment for him. Should we stop the game for him and give him like a little note? Congratulations, 17,000 yards eclipse. 426 passing touchdowns, 105 INTs. He's been sacked 146, a passing completion number of 66.5, and a 9.6 yards per pass, and a QB rating of 107.2.
You know, I just noticed we had that at the bottom.
Yeah, I know.
And he also
has it been there?
Yeah, where have you been, man?
How long has it been there?
It's been for a while,
He has a career record of 87 and 68.
So that's not going to get you into the Hall of Fame. Hold on.
I'm curious. What happens in the playoffs?
Here's my argument, though, right?
He actually gets better. 107.5.
But here's my argument, though, right? Simo Dagenais is fourth all-time in FPF passing yards, but he's not in the Hall of Fame. So does this qualify? And Simo Dagenais is a middle to lower tier quarterback.
Simo Dagenais is also like number two in INTs.
Yeah, he's at the top.
But, I mean, what's the criteria then for a lower or middle tier quarterback? I mean, from a divisional standpoint, to get into the Hall of Fame.
But so would you argue that longevity is a Hall of Fame criteria?
No.
So then, would you say that he's played
longevity like, at the same level? Debatably,
like Vinny Testaverde was
yeah. But okay, so out of all those seasons that he's played, out of all the success, two All Stars, one championship.
Yeah, but Vinny Testaverde was a long term quarterback in the NFL. He didn't go in the Hall of Fame, and he put up big numbers.
Yeah.
So he's like the Vinny Testaverde. Then you're saying
Hall of Very Good.
Yeah.
Hall of Very Good.
Yeah. We'll have that. We'll have the nominations listed.
Hall of Honorable Mentions.
The honorable of the honorable mentions. How about that?
And let's keep in mind, right, he's been eligible for Hall of Fame, and he has yet to be nominated. Mm-hmm. So whether that's
But whose fault is that, though?
Well, that's it. Of the Hall of Very Good, he's probably lower down the list.
But what I'm implying, whose fault is that? Because no one knows. The guys who are in the Hall of Fame don't know who the hell he is.
Yeah, but he's not even nominated, so he's not even on the list of selections.
But if he was, do you think anyone would be like, oh, no. Thomas Swindon?
That's a different problem, though. He's not even in the shortlist.
It's a systematic problem.
Depending on who the voter base would be.
Yeah, it's a systematic problem we have. That's what we have. Call it for what it is. F you, Hall of Fame community. I'm on that community.
Which Mo Hall and Bill.
I know you vote. Anyway.
So, last game on the docket is the game that happened before I played. I know you score kept it, Mo. Fresh Lungs, 21. Llamas Pajamas, 15. Fresh Lungs were able to win this without scoring a touchdown in the second half. I saw a jet sweep at one point from Llamas Pajamas. I think that more than anything, they just need simpler play calling to be successful. Reads are way too complicated when they don't need to be. They have rotating names. Like, everyone's playing quarterback different games. I think you just need simple play calling. Run all hooks down the field if you need to, but it was just an odd game to watch. What do you think, Mark?
Odd is an understatement of how this game unfolded. I would think it was more like watching a cake
bake
in the oven.
You have the worst metaphors.
No, but I'm saying that you're just watching it, right? You're staring at the game. It's taking forever to finish, right? And that's what it was. And unfortunately...
Yeah, but with a cake, like, once it's done, you're like, you're hungry, you're excited.
Yeah, that's good. Right. At 11 o'clock, I was ready to go home. I was like, all right, I'm excited to go home. All right, so... The thing with Llama Pajamas, they're a good group of guys. I like them. You know, unfortunately, their first game of the year was canceled because the team that they played for, who was Eagle?
Teen Stars.
Teen Stars, yeah. They no-showed, right? And they were cool about it. And, you know, I go, you know what, guys, I apologize for that. But I think if they're going to grow, and whether they do anything in the remaining games of Fall Cup, we'll see. But if they're going to grow, winter season is going to come up in 2-3 months from now. You're right. The quarterback position has to be corrected because Olivier Goddard has a good arm, but he just can't read the field well. And what's the biggest knock on quarterbacks who start off, right? They can't read a field until maybe season two or three, and then they start to get a firmer grip of how to really survey a field out there.
There was one play that I saw where he had a receiver running a post, and there was a fly as well. So both defenders had cleared out, and he had all the space to run. And he almost made it to the line of scrimmage and then tossed it for an incompletion. Then that was third down. And then the fourth down was the down he attempted to run where he got sacked.
Right.
And it's just a question of either knowing what you're going to do in advance and making the read based off of that, or simplifying your play calling and just looking at what the defense gives you and adjusting.
I think they have some good athletes on this team. They just don't know how to play the FPF game yet. And it's a matter of, and that's the problem with these teams, right? They come into the FPF Cup, and I think we can all agree, right? The FPF Cup is sort of that everyone knows what's going on. Usually when a new team comes in, it's always at the winter season or spring season. And I think that's where they fall behind the eight ball, because teams already have a leg up on them in terms of what they can do. And I think when you look at Matthew Lerner, and I'm not going to lie, I was a bit disappointed by his output. Three INTs for a guy who's been in this league for a little bit of a long term. I thought he would have been much more efficient playing against Llama Pajamas.
That tells you the athleticism and the football skill that this team has as a core.
They do. But also, I think Lerner, again, same thing with him. If he's going to grow as a quarterback, he's got to be better and much more firm in his ability to read a field and find the right guy. Because there were a few times where he just forced that ball into double coverage. Albeit one was on a Hail Mary INT before halftime, but the other ones were not good reads by him that kept Llama Pajamas alive in this football game. So a lot for both teams to look forward to, but I think they have to address the quarterback situation, and I think that's going to be key for them if they're going to maintain their status moving forward towards winter season.
Okay. So just to go over, I know there was a post by Rob on the FPF walls, but just the sort of overview of what the knockout round is going to look like, and I know, Alex, you can jump in as well because you have a better understanding of it, but the top six and the bottom six teams in the entire cup don't promote or relegate, correct?
That's correct.
And then from there, bottom two relegate down, top two from the group below get promoted. If you go down, you go to the third or the fourth seed of the next pool. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more, Alex, because you're making faces?
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to bring up the graphics to everyone.
Yeah, Rob, can I put up like a colorful graphics display on the FPF group? For those who want to get a better clarification, go on the...
But even better, like, just getting that as a concept, because I looked at that and it was... I can only imagine how it looked to Pease, who was colorblind.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very true.
Or someone who may have been taking legal weed today and trying to understand that.
So basically, I mean, if you see here on the color scheme, there is a way that we actually do capture which group you're actually in. And then based on that, you end up in this knockout round. So basically what we're trying to do is mix up the different conferences. So if you were in tier one or tier two, you don't necessarily play the exact same teams. We want to play similar to your strength. And if you ended up in the lower seed, we don't want to just knock you down arbitrarily to a lower one. We want to actually, you know, bump teams that did good up and teams that did poorly down and teams that are in the middle. So this kind of, that's why you kind of have people all over the place when you look at the different color schemes and who goes where. But we think it's going to be a fair way of actually moving forward for the tournament structure and the elimination round.
Here's a good question. And I'm sure this will be answered by our Lord and Savior, Rob Campana, the president of this league. Has the, you know, you guys play in it, so has the competition gotten better in year two? Are we still at the same level of where it was last year?
I think the understanding of what the tournament is has gotten better, and because of that, teams are adjusting. Is that early on, there was more of a disparity between matchups, and teams sometimes wrote them off. The spreads were sometimes thought as gimmicky, whereas now I think that teams are a lot better matched up, mm-hmm. and we're seeing the results of that.
Eagle?
Well, two things. One is last year was the first time we put this together, and so... Not to say we didn't know what we were doing, because that's not what I mean, but there was a lot of unknown going into this, right? There was a, well, is this going to work? How is the structure going to work? We had the whole idea of the spread, which was kind of a hit or miss. So it kind of helped, but it also didn't. It was just kind of weird. People didn't understand it. So we kind of took that. We wanted to learn from it. Also, this time around, we have more teams registered. So it allowed us to kind of build a larger playoff structure as well in terms of how we wanted to do it. So I think this time around, teams kind of understand it more. It's also kind of more close to a regular season as opposed to last time where there was like phase one, phase two, phase three. So overall, I'm happy with the way it's gone, both as a player and staff. I think teams overall are just happy to play. I mean, honestly, the structure itself doesn't really matter.
Is the competition better with 48 or was it better with 40? Because
48 by far. Yeah.
But are those eight teams stronger? Are they just weaker teams playing in tier four?
No, it's the difference between teams is closer than when you're 40.
The easiest way you can describe this is tier one is a range between division one and three. Tier two is division four, some lower or higher five. Tier three is division five, and tier four is division six. That's a very easy way to kind of understand how this is broken up based on our registration, which if you think about how many teams we usually get registered, fits our usual distribution. So if we only had 40, we would have to draw the lines at a different place, which means that those div four teams are now playing div three teams, potentially.
Div two.
Yeah, there's div six teams or higher div six teams playing div five teams. So this way it kind of does give us an easier way to group them together. So I think it works out better with 48.
Obviously, it's based off a mathematical formula, right? You need 48 because of the way the structure works, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
So what's the next level, 72?
No, it all depends on the groupings, right? Here we did four groups of 12, but we could have done four groups of 10. We could have done, 40 is a tricky number. We could have done 42, six groups of seven, do 60. Anyway, there's a bunch of different ways you can skin the cat depending on how many teams we get. So it really depends on how many registered, but 48 wasn't a target for us to structure. 36, 48, anything with 12 is usually how it works out well.
Let's get 60 next year, boys.
Yeah, why not?
That would be great.
Yeah, tier 5. Tier or we six. Can do, yeah, whatever.
Okay, we're on that for next year. Here we go. FPF Cup, Team 60s, here we come.
If you guys have any questions about how this works, let us know and we can answer them.
Well, I think it's important, though, just to clarify, because a lot of casts came up.
This is definitely a good time if we get write-ins to be able to address them.
Yeah, it's something that obviously teams in lower, like Tier 3 and Tier 4 guys who were like, well, what happens now? I go, well, I just press buttons on this iPad, guys, so, but that's what I do. But this,
the
again,
regular season ends. You end up in a seed. Yeah. You get put into a qualifying round. There's two teams that get byes, and then it's elimination style.
Right. So then that's what the month of November is, pretty much.
Correct,
right?
Yes. So, so we have 1 week left in the official season, I guess you could say. So week 8 is coming up next week.
Yeah.
We have week 9, which is kind of a replacement week for the Labor Day games that we didn't schedule and everything. So they just kind of just wrap them up. And then everyone gets a large bye week as we put together the new schedule for the elimination round, effectively, of the playoffs.
You should call it the Elimination Chamber.
No.
Sounds more barbaric.
But why chamber?
Because we're, you know, I'm ripping off WWE. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
So again, just follow, again, for those who were curious, just follow the FPF website and understand that you will be seated properly to where we believe you should be ranked. And then from there, in the month of November, it goes to single elimination. And then as you work your way up, as you go deeper and deeper into the playoffs towards December 1st, where the FPF bowl games, is that what it is? What's the names this year do we go with?
Well, it's Chouinard the same one from last year. We have 8. Hold on, let me grab them for you. So we have the Ojea Bowl is the highest one. Arsenault is the 2nd. Wyeth is the 3rd. Paliche is the 4th. Chouinard is the 5th. Rosti Benablicator is the 6th. Keyshawn Thompson is the 7th. And Paula Pierre is the 8th. Why they're in that order and why Wyeth is at number 1, I don't know.
Ask anyway, probably. Whatever. But December 1st, Stade Bear is where it's going to be played, correct?
Who are the first ones again?
Ojea, Arsenault, Wyeth.
Weird. Yeah, it's not even by when they were inducted.
No.
Alphabetical order? No.
No. No.
Ojea? No.
No.
First or aim? No.
We're taking too long on this.
Yeah, dead air, there's no...
I feel like Rob should fix those.
Maybe it's player rating?
No.
Maybe it's most popular player? Could be. Anyway.
On that note.
Would you put Arsenault as number 2 over Theo J being most popular? I would say Arsenault is probably more popular.
There should be a poll question. Does anyone who Nick Arsenault is that's playing this?
So we're ruling out Kevin Wyeth as number 1? He's more like the unicorn where it's like, wow, there he is.
No, Kevin is... we're spending too much time on this topic anyways.
That's for next week. For
yeah.
Simon
Pizzo. Previews.
Yes, time for the game previews here, GM.
And so a rematch, the one that intrigues me the most right now, a rematch of the finals, Braves against NR.
Well, it's more infamous for the game of the week when Jaume said, whoa, 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 in the spring season when they were playing each other.
With a different quarterback.
Different quarterback. And Jaume said when they had him at the mercy, at their feet, whoa, 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 this is game of the week. We're not ending this game yet with 2.5 minutes to go. And I said, John, that is an OG answer you just gave right now. Much props to you. Okay, so here's a question, though, for hashtag NR. Who the bleep is playing for this team? It is a cast of new characters every week, GM, and that's been the knock on this team. And I think from those who I've spoken to, it's been more of an annoyance to try to find a consistent roster that will show up and play. And look, the Braves have been more or less the same core together.
And yet, hashtag NR is still 5-1.
5-1, yes, they are still 5-1. So the question that I have, though, is can they field the team, same team, 2 weeks in a row? And if they can they somehow upend a very potent machine in the Braves offense that has been unstoppable so far this year?
Yeah, it's a yes, but. Yes, but it has to be the right 6 or the right 7 or the right 8.
I don't think they have that, though. I think they've lucked on the fact they've had a pretty, pretty reasonable schedule that has enabled them to win.
I don't know. Just looking at their roster, if I can pick off 7 off of this team here that can compete, I think it's absolutely doable. Anthony Como, Corey Pecker, Jeremy Anderson, Jordan Moses, Kendall Myers, Mario, even if he doesn't play quarterback, Travis Moses, Troy Trench. That's 8, 7 if you don't count Mario as a receiver.
Hell, it's a hell of a team, but again,
that is a hell of a team.
Do they show up? That's the question. I don't know if they ever show up. That's
they're motivated for this game.
I don't think Troy Trench is on the list, but he hasn't played any games.
Been MIA since like winter season.
Calvin Trench has played though, and he played against Free Vinny when we played them, and he played pretty well. So sub in Calvin for Troy.
Does that bug you that you lost to these guys?
No, we lost to everyone.
Yeah, no, it's pretty remarkable.
I had been approached by someone who jokingly asked if we were tanking, and I said, "Have you watched a game? This isn't intentional."
If you guys are tanking, I don't know what you're tanking for. Yeah. There's no first overall pick in the FPF Cup. But I think the key is if they have a normal roster in terms of players that they're familiar with. I love Lance Daniel, but look, if Jean-Marie sees him and he's got the right matchup, he's going to pick on him all day long.
So they definitely need Corey Pecker.
They definitely do.
They need someone who's going to snap the ball to him consistently.
Well, that could be Anthony Comeau.
That can be Jeremy Anderson. There's options there.
Don't you weaken Anderson's ability in offense then?
No, absolutely not. I think that the way Corey uses him, he creates mismatches with Jeremy's speed and size, and he puts the ball where only Jeremy can get it. And in times where I've seen Jeremy sub in for Comeau at snap, like there was a game where he had like 12 or 15 receptions.
Yeah.
The ball is just fed to him. So I don't think there's a drop-off there at all.
I think Braves, and have you seen their new uniforms, by the way?
They're gorgeous.
Very nice. Oregon-like. I think they win this game by 8-plus points. Are we making picks, or are we doing that at the end?
Yeah, we can do that now. I see, like I said, NR can win this game. It just depends on the right guys, but if I were to bet money, I would not bet against Braves.
I don't know if they're motivated to win now. I think they're doing this for the sake of keeping themselves in the flow. And they're building up for winter season. And I just think that this right now, this roster, not saying they're going in with a white flag here, GM, but I think they just realize that we're going to make do with what we have. And if we go as far as we can, great. But it's going to be our building block towards whether they go Div 1 or say Div 2 next winter, this winter season. Next game here, GM.
Sweat and Beers, 2HD.
Well, my question is, and I think Joey Taylor should be there.
Yeah.
We're going on the blind assumption.
So under the assumption that Joey Taylor is the quarterback, yes?
I would take 2HD rather convincingly over them.
I don't know. I think this has upset written on it.
Why?
A week of 2HD, there'll still be a little bit of rust without having Joey. I think there's enough playmakers on Sweat and Beers to really make this a game as well, to create those turnovers. There's a couple of mismatches on offense at times. I like how Sweat and Beers use Robbie Robinson and Andrew Carruthers in this offense.
They're both unorthodox teams, though.
Exactly.
They really are. I just don't know which one is more stable. I think 2HD, I would give them the edge because they have the continuity as opposed to Sweat and Beers that, again, they have been a conveyor belt of guys coming in and out of the lineup. I don't know. Who's quarterback now? Rocco Cristiano still or no? I believe he is.
So Robbie has taken snaps as well, but it's Rocco.
So who's the better quarterback in your mind? I think Rocco is the better quarterback and Robbie's the better receiver for that system.
No. I think for the system, Robbie is a better quarterback and Robbie is a better receiver.
All right, so tiebreaker here. Eagle, who do you have? Do you think Rocco Cristiano is a better quarterback and Robbie Robinson is a better receiver, or is Robbie Robinson a better quarterback to be had? He has no idea what the hell we're talking about.
I think...
Is Robbie Robinson better suited to be the quarterback or receiver in this team? That's the question, pretty much.
I feel like when you put him as quarterback, you're stifling their offense. By putting him as a receiver, you're giving them an actual threat to throw to, but he's still a better quarterback than Rocco. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and Robbie's a playmaker who would be, in that sense, touching the ball every play. If he has, to your point, a more consistent roster, a lot of Robbie's routes are very timing and chemistry based. So once he gets a feel for those same guys, he creates those mismatches. He has those no-look passes where he looks one way and has a completion there that's taken up for yards. Mm-hmm. And these are guys that he has chemistry with and trusts.
That's the problem, though. I don't know if he has that trust with everyone out there. But again, we had that question at the top of the show with Tom Zarco and Los Avocados, right? Who scares you on that team?
There's more on this team, absolutely, that scare me than on Los Avocados.
Who's a legitimate threat of, oh my God,
Akeem James Donald?
But
Mike Zanobi?
really, but those guys are going to really blow off the top of a defense. And
yeah, James Donald, absolutely. And I think that right now, Robbie is the better quarterback than Rocco. But if he continues on this trend, like in 2-3 years, there will be the point where Rocco surpasses him.
Well, yeah.
But this is a great place for him to be learning under and seeing how Robbie commands a huddle, how he calls routes to get his guys open and spreads the ball. So I think that this would be something that would help in the development as well.
I got 2HD by 14 points.
By 14? Wow. I would take that bet.
14 plus.
Okay. Are we making a bet on that then?
We're not here next week, so.
That's okay. I'll see you at the field.
Perhaps you will see me at the field.
Okay. Chocolate milk or coffee?
All right. 14 points.
14 points.
Oh, hold on. 14 and a half.
Okay.
No, sorry. 13 and a half. 13 and a half.
Okay. 13 and a half.
13 and a half. Next game. Lockdown Diablos.
Yeah. Lockdown Diablos. Pat Riot. He has glimpses of glory, though. Like, there's games where he's great.
And then he has games of shame.
Yeah, he has games of shame.
Here's a question. Is Francois Martin better throwing the football with his left hand than Pat Wright throwing the football with his right hand?
Francois Martin.
Are you cracked? No.
Why not?
Pat Wright is not a bad quarterback. He has a lot of bad
games.
Let me
whip up the stats here.
And
he's
on tilt when you go down 2 scores. He's not a bad QB, though. He just has really bad games.
Okay, hold on. Let me just... Okay. Bad games. What does that say? Then he's a bad quarterback, then.
Oh, he's inconsistent. He's streaky. Yeah, he's exactly. Streaky.
You can have... Like, the first two games in the season, he was, what, 12 TDs, no INTs? And then he throws, like, 4 in the next game. And then he plays really well the next 2. And then he throws another 4. Like, it's just... It's all over the place.
Also, in the game against Greendale Human Beings, Nick Gimier was missing, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, he was.
There's a difference when you have, like, a snapper like Nick
and
snapping to you.
And Maxime Chateauneuf was not there, too.
All right, so our boy Pat Riot, 75 wins, 131 losses. Okay. Career stats, 184 games, 25,652 yards passing.
That's good.
597 touchdown passes, 248 INTs, and he's been sacked 310 times.
I now know what Pease means when he says that radio is not numbers.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I think that's more by design of the teams that have been around him. Yes, he has a cap where he will fit in FPF as far as skill level goes, but I think that he's not a bad quarterback for, especially in this tier.
In tier 2.
In tier 2.
You're going to take Pat Riot in tier 2.
Yeah?
With
this team around him?
How many wins do you guys have now?
Any wins?
Yeah.
Two
through 7
now,
weeks,
that
right?
That being said, we lost one game by a score, another game by a score, another game by 1 point.
So what does that say about him, though? But like, shouldn't you win those games? If you're within a score or within a couple points of the team that's in the lead, your quarterback should win those games for you.
Yes.
He should. No, but he should, though, right? If it's a 2-score game, whatever, it's a different thing here. But if you're down by 2 with the ball and you can't win those games... What does that say about Pat Riot?
Yeah, and that's been the situation in 2 of those games. So,
but will it be the situation in this game against Diablos?
No, Diablos are going to run these guys off the table. Thanks, they're monsters. I've scored kept probably about 30, 40% or 50% of the games for Diablos this season. And these guys were running off. They had no business playing these guys. They made them look like kids out there. And Francois Martin is locked in. I mean, he's unorthodox in how he throws a football. But he throws like a javelin thrower. But that team with Véron and others.
Yeah, Charles Véron is a huge addition to this team.
He's been phenomenal. He's made these unbelievable catches where I'm like, wow, he torqued his body like Cirque du Soleil and made these unbelievable catches in front of me. So there's no doubt you will not have an answer for Véron come whenever you play them, whether it's Monday or Thursday next week.
Thanks, man.
No worries. 14 points? No, I'm not going to give that number, though.
Wait, more or less?
No, I'm not giving you 14 points. I think they win by 7 points.
That's it?
Yes.
You're saying we have no answer for this guy, but we make it a close
sweat
game.
And beers more handedly.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Mo.
No worries.
Greendale Human Beings, Junkyard Dogs.
Oh, God.
That's a game.
That's a game that would be very...
These are two teams that have grown. Like, these are farm teams that are full-fledged FPF franchises now.
This is like a spring, like, quarterfinal, semifinal type of matchup here if they were in the same division.
Yeah,
but Junkyard Dogs have looked not so...
This is a Div 4 championship right here.
Junkyard Dogs obviously speak to a couple of their players. They know this isn't the team that was in spring season, albeit because the roster isn't how it was, the familiarity. Yeah. But they're very combustible right now. A very, not toxic, but it's veering towards being toxic of the characters they have in that lineup that can be very volcanic and erupt at times.
Well, I mean, we get that impression at times, and that's sort of the fire that drives Junkyard Dogs when they're on, right? Is that when the sort of high energy propels them to success, but can also be their undoing if they start fighting within each other. So it's that high risk, high reward.
Yeah, I don't think they have the right mix though, right? The Daewoo brothers on that team have, I'm not saying they put themselves above the team and made it about them with the spotlight on them, but there are times where you see glimpses of, boy, they are making this about them and taking away from the team concept. And they had their game against SWAT a couple weeks ago, and they lost the game, but it ended up being about them because they were upset of how that game went. So if they are going to be like that, then they have no chance against GHB in this game.
Okay.
Who you got?
I have GHB in this one.
I do.
Yeah.
A-plus points.
Eagle nods silently.
Well, we'll do games of the week later. You're picking for Simo.
Okay.
Oh, am I picking for PZ?
No, PZ doesn't get picks. He writes an article.
So okay. We'll go back to this. You'll
we'll write them all.
Perfect.
Up,
yeah. Hawks broken ankles.
Oh, this is a tough one. I've score kept broken ankles. I'm going to give them the edge coming into this game.
And why is that, Mo?
I just think when you see broken ankles and what they've done so far this year, I mean, they lost to Los Avocados by 5 in week 1. I like the core of the team because of the experience they have.
FPF vets, man.
All FPF vets. If this is like 2010, I'm like, wow, these guys are incredible. Now it's 2018. So
yeah, they even have all blue. Like, you could just rename this team Flying Weasels, and they would be right at home in like 2009 FPF.
Yeah, I think. But what's the big knock on our boy, Jonathan Lemieux? He's not played well the last couple of seasons he's been in FPF, right? But this year he's been okay, 20 TDs, 8 INTs. But I think in this scenario, what they have against the Hawks, I would take their experience as being why they can persevere and pull through with a victory against the Hawks.
The Hawks have made, I guess, a personnel switch and change. Yakub has been great at quarterback as well. So Telemax. I'm sorry.
What does do well, GM?
Runs left 40 yards, runs right 40 yards, and chucks it up.
Yep. He is the author of that play. Carry on, though.
So it's been an interesting dynamic shift to this team, certainly. These two teams match up well together, but I do like broken ankles in this for the same reasons that you do, Mo, in that they know what will work to disrupt what Hawks do well.
Well, we're going to find out. They will play Monday at Papineau, 10 p.m.
I will also be at Papineau on Monday.
We'll go over the schedule format, by the way, for those who are curious. No, it's now no more Tuesdays. We'll get to that at the end.
Cool.
Next game, GM.
Teen Stars, Zhangyi.
So, Teen Stars,
Can we have Lance do this as a game of the week? Because I think
I'm going to tell you what happened yesterday, Zhangyi. They won their football game.
Good.
Tearing up tier 4.
Our boy, Zhangyi Football. Christophe Chartrand.
Hey, Zhangyi won on 10-17. Good for them.
They beat Rostov.
Pre-celebration.
Christophe Chartrand had this dance that I had never, ever seen in my life.
Have you played Fortnite?
Oh, I think he was doing that. But then there was one play where he... Oh,
I was thinking maybe it was the Viking shuffle.
It was a hybrid Viking, like Ron Miller style. But anyway, it was like he was doing like a hip thrust, but obviously he can't because he has no dance skills. That was one. Then second touchdown, he ran down the sideline because his guy made a phenomenal catch, toe tap along the sidelines. And then he went on one knee to Jason LeClair, the referee on my side, and begged, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. And Jason said, touchdown it is. And he proposed to Jason LeClair.
So is he Odell?
I don't know.
So when's the wedding? Did he say yes?
Jason was blushing, caught off guard. He was surprised.
What did the ring look like?
I don't know.
Well, you were there.
I was there pressing buttons on the iPad.
You can tell the worst stories.
So, Christophe Chartrand and his touchdown celebrations is what I will do. Is must-see TV for me now, GM. But they have a good defense, though. Simon Laporte, very good. There's no question how well of a pass rusher he is. And Emile Lameille was very good. He was able to play. Like, he looks much more confident now playing than he first came in. So give me Jean Guy to win this football game against Team Stars, who are still learning this football game. They haven't grasped the nuances of FPF maybe another year.
It'll definitely frustrate them, too.
Well, it's going to be fascinating because you have two different worlds about to collide in Brossard on Wednesday night. And it's going to be must-see TV. I can't wait to watch that.
Yeah. Replacements Bruins.
I saw the Bruins play, and I don't know how to describe this team yet.
Their identity keeps
changing. It's been 7 weeks.
And, I know, but
their identity keeps changing with
Gab
every
Wiseman
season.
Was their guy, right? So this year's team, I don't know. I don't know how to describe this team, guys. I really... It's hard for me to say if they're better or worse. I don't... It's a tough assessment of the Bruins. I think they're more experienced. I think they're much more relaxed and calm now than what they were before. But I just... Coming into this game here where you look at the quarterback play, it's been okay with Wimet as the guy for them. But in this matchup where they have it's not the easiest game to go through. But I'll tell you one thing right now. If they can get off to a fast start and hold a 10-point lead at least, minimum, I like their chances to win this football game. Anything less than that, 7 points or less, I think it's a toss-up.
I like replacements in this one.
Why?
Their dynamic as a team, taking that short yardage, not forcing the ball deep at times, especially in tier four, I think that the replacements are one of the teams to beat as the couple start to progress.
Nice uniforms they have, blue and gold. Not bad. Next game.
That's it for what's on topic right now.
Okay, so
Eagle has the full rundown for us.
Let's do games of the week. Although I actually am picking them because normally Pease reads them out loud. So I guess... Either Mo, you get to be me, which I don't think I like, or you get to be Peas and you read them out.
Yes. What games am I picking, though?
You're all of them.
We'll go through every game.
24 games. But it's just picks. No analysis.
Okay. So let me get to the schedule.
We're
going to
start with tier four.
Tier four. Okay. My bad. Backwards. I was going to go up to down, but now going down to up. All right.
Then you have to leave like the Div 1 guys waiting.
Oh, yes. Like they're waiting by, like they have LeBron on deck and us.
Do we even have viewers right now or comments?
Actually, a significant amount. Yeah, I'm surprised.
That's what happens. That's what happens when you put on minorities, my friend.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Here we go. Tier 4, week 8. Here we go. Trailer Park Boys, Fresh Lungs.
Fresh Lungs.
Yeah, Fresh Lungs.
All right. MacDo against Trojans.
MacDo!
Yeah, MacDo is too great a name to shy away from.
Rossos, Bud Knights.
Rossos.
Give me Bud Knights.
Teen Stars, Jean Guy.
Jean Guy.
I'm going to pick... Jean Guy. I'm going to pick Jean Guy. I have to pick Jean
Guy. This for the celebrations. That's all I care about. I'm going to get this game. I'm going to watch them do the celebrations. That's all I care about. All right. Amateur de Sacks against Llama Pajamas.
Ooh.
Amateur.
Amateur de Sack, but whoever's scorekeeping that one, bring some smelling salts.
Oh, God, that's Steph. Oh, Steph's going to have that game. That's all right. Not me.
I can't wait for the day after review.
Can we mic him up for that?
That'd be actually fun.
Oh, man, Steph. Oh, my God. All right, last game, Replacements Bruins in Kirkland.
You already picked this one.
Yeah, I did pick this one, so Replacements.
I'm going to go Bruins.
All right, tier three, gentlemen. Week 8. Hawks, broken ankles.
Broken ankles.
Grabouge, EZW.
EZW.
Bulldogs, X-Men.
X-Men.
Unknown Talent, Supernovas.
Hmm.
Supernovas.
I'm going to... I'm going to go with Unknown Talent. If Supernovas win, though, we should probably talk about them more. Because they're really getting undercovered and they're flying under the radar right now. So I'm going to pick Unknown Talon. But if you get a win, I promise you we'll talk about you next week.
All right. Dreambreakers, Los Banditos.
Dreambreakers.
Dreambreakers.
Los Avocados and Warriors.
And sorry?
And Warriors.
Warriors.
What's the matter with you, Eagle?
He's got his thinking face on.
As much as they're one-dimensional, I like them because when Zirko isn't covered, they just win. And I'm trying to think of whether or not Warriors can do something about it.
It's not an in-depth answer here. It's one-word answer. Warriors. You told us.
Thank you. Warriors.
Okay, here we go. Tier 2. One-speed power, Outlaws.
One-speed power.
OSP.
Pigeon Squad, Le'Veon La Vida Loca.
Le'Veon La Vida Loca.
Yeah.
Le Flamant Flu, Fou against Mean Machine.
Flamant Fou.
Mean Machine.
Oh, okay. Lockdown Diablos.
I like Lockdown.
I'm not picking this one. God. Also, thanks for picking us, Simon.
Just
a free win for me.
Stop the one.
Francois Martin, left hand is better than your boy.
Stop the post.
Yeah, I know.
And you won't, because Vero's going to crush you. He's going to be a surgeon dissecting your stomach, scoring touchdowns.
Why would you dissect a stomach?
I don't know. I'm very fascinated by your sugar-infested stomach.
Oh, thanks, man.
No worries. We had this conversation yesterday, by the way. GHB against Junkyard Dogs.
Dogs.
GHB. I think I said GHB during
the
recap.
I'm going to go Dogs.
SWAT, led by the Dictator, against Voodoo.
Dictator.
Oh.
You know what? Let's do it. Voodoo. You guys played really well last week. They got two in a row.
Yeah, I like Voodoo.
Three in a row? Two in a row.
So, we were just talking about the game changer that Isaiah Lard is at the rusher position.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
I also know Voodoo's playbook.
Okay.
So I know the routes that work for them, and I know that Alard is just going to help in the pressure, but the routes are going to open up.
It's like a wrestling match. You have the Giant and Isaiah Lard against the, like, Cruiserweight and
your words.
What is Giant against the Cruiserweight? All right, Lightweight against STL Tier 1.
Oh, wait,
STL.
Who's quarterbacking for Lightweight?
Monday, I think he's back.
Okay, then STL.
If he isn't back?
It's closer.
I'm going STL, yeah.
Conspiracy against Dirty Dog.
Conspiracy.
Yeah, they're going to run these guys. Hashtag Free Vinny against Keyport Lockstars. You can't pick, right? Because it's... So I'll make the pick then.
You can
I can make the pick, right? Because he can't make the pick. It's his team.
Yeah, sure.
In theory. I got Free Vinny winning this game.
No. Keyport Lockstars. What are you talking about?
Okay. Braves against Hashtag NR.
Brav.
Bravo.
That's going to be a good one. FPF All-Stars against... What's this Nixon Thomas name again?
Bonnie Azal,
there you go.
All Stars.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
It means, like, people who live in the suburbs, right?
Yes.
Bonnie Azal? Okay, awesome.
Sweat and Beers against 2HD.
2HD.
Sweat and Beers by less than, or will lose by less than 14.
2HD, even if they're 5.
Man, I'm going to talk to Joey Taylor about this game, boy. That chocolate is going to be... I can taste it in my stomach right now.
It's too bad I'll be the one drinking it.
Supposedly. Do I do the magic words?
Yeah, I mean, you get to wrap the show, final thoughts.
Well, GM gets to wrap the show up.
Yeah, I get to wrap the show up because neither of us really wrote a script and got to fill in on the spot. But I guess that this is the way I'm going to end the show, talking about the fact that you will likely see us both next week. I hope not. Maybe by then we will probably have a little bit more information for you. We'll have a clearer picture of who will be in what tier.
Not necessarily.
It'll
still
be
a lot
closer.
Of games
we'll have ideas. Yeah. And more rants. That'll definitely be it.
One more thing, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen who are playing this league. Just check the schedule now, because remember, there's no more Tuesday games in Lachine. It's Monday, St. Laurent, Brossard, and Kirkland, I believe. And then we go Wednesday, right? This week, guys? Is that what the schedule is for this week?
Uh-huh.
Well, making sure, because guys think there's Tuesday games, right? So we got to make sure about that.
But why would you think they're the Tuesday game unless you have a Tuesday game?
They're so immune to having Tuesday games, though. Just reminding people to forget. There's no
Monday, Wednesday, Thursday.
There you go. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday.
And there's only three games on Thursday. So, Replacements, Bruins, Sweat and Beers, 2HD, Avocados, Warriors. You play Thursday in Kirkland. Everyone else, check your schedule. It's Monday or Wednesday.
Exactly.
Really? Right. Make it that complicated? Really?
Yeah, it is. All right. Magic words, please, GM.
This was fun. Thank you.
From all of us here at the Weekly Extra Point Live, go watch some other sports. Until the next time, bye.
Good night, Raiders.